All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samech Dalet 64. We are picking up from 63B, Samech Gimel Amud Beis, and we're picking up, Rabbosai, seven lines up from the bottom, Yosef Rav Nachman. The shir this morning is dedicated by the Shapiro family in memory of our Rav Ephraim ben David Gershon. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah. So we'll say the shir is also dedicated this month by Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Saul and Floret, Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram, and Shmuel ben Zachariah. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the family a nechama. All right, Rabbosai, let's begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara picks up, Yosef Rav Nachman v'ula v'avimi bar papi. So let's begin. Yosef Rav Nachman v'ula v'avimi bar papi. Yosef Rabbi Chiyah bar amigabayah. Yosef becoming barilah. So Rabbosai, these Rabbanim are sitting together, and they are asking the following question. A very interesting shaylah. Sachru lishbar v'yayi nesach mahu. We'll say, what happens if an akum goes ahead and hires a Jew to smash barrels of yayin nesach? Literally, again, smash, this is the job, right? The akum has, maybe, whatever the metzias is. So can the akum hire the Jew to smash bottles of yayin nesach? Look at Rashi. Lishpor b'yayin nesach, lishpor chavis, lishpor chasayin. To smash the barrels and to pour out the wine. The why is irrelevant right now. This is the nature, this is the tzura of the malacha. So we'll say the shayla is, so remember, what's the issue over here? What's the issue over here? The issue over here is the Jew is earning a wage by working with the Yayin Esach. Now, again, we established already in the Mishnah that any wages earned by working with the Yayin Esach ultimately are usur. The difference in this case is what? Is he's destroying the Yayin Esach. So says the Gemara of Akai Wiley, Schar Lishpar Yayin Esach Mau, Mi Arminon, Kevim Dura Tzvikyum Asr. And we'll say now, on one hand, the Jew wants the existence of the Yayin Nesach. Why does the Jew want the existence of the Yayin Nesach, Rabbosai? Because it's a salary. Remember, again, if for some reason there's an act of nature, there's a hurricane that destroys the barrels of wine, he loses his money, doesn't get his wage. See, he wants the Yayin Nesach to exist, ultimately, again, until he shows up at the house of the Nachri. So on one hand, he wants the Yayin Nesach to exist, and maybe it's Aser. On the other hand, oh, Dilma, call me ute tifla shaper dummy. We'll say any time that you have the opportunity, lemi ute tifla means literally to go ahead and diminish or to detract or to destroy. Tifla. We'll say tifla means usher things, inappropriate things. In this case, reference to avodah zara wine, yayin nesach. So ultimately, again, shaper dummy, then that is a commendable practice, and one is permitted to get a wage for this. So we'll say, so this is the fundamental tension. On one hand, the Jew wants the yayin nesach, because yayin nesach is his parnasa. So again, maybe that's why the wage should be usher. On the flip side, he's actively destroying yayin nesach, in which case, again, maybe it should be mutter. So what's the halacha? Amar Rav Nachman Yishbar, V'tava lav bracha. So let's listen to this. Rav Nachman says it's mutter, v'tava lav bracha, shkoyach. Not only is it okay, but you get an incredible shkoyach for doing it. So the Gemara says as follows. So we'll say, let's analyze this. Lema m'sayele. So we'll say, let's bring a support to Rav Nachman. Ein odrin ima obeg chavim b'kilai. Let's listen to this. So kilai, remember, again, are forbidden mixtures. Whether it's kilai akerem, so simple, right? You have grape, you have vines and wheat growing together. So the halacha Rabbosai is now, remember, akum has absolutely no prohibition of kilai akerem. That's only a prohibition by Jews. But even if an akum has kilai akerem, a Jew is not permitted to help him farm them. Odrin literally means like hoeing or shoveling around the roots. So a Jew is not permitted to participate with the Akum in the upkeep of his kilayim. Top of Samech Dalet. Aval okrin imo, they will say, what can you do? If the Obey Kohavim is uprooting his kilayim, then ultimately, again, the Jew is permitted to help him uproot. Look at Rashi, aval okrin. Rashi says, lashlichon li'ibud. Listen to this. But the Jew is permitted to go ahead and uproot the kilayim with the akum. Why? Ultimately, again, in order to go ahead and what? In order to go ahead and diminish that which is usur. So we'll say, here is a case where, again, the Jew now desires the existence of the kliyak kerem. Now he desires the existence of the kliyak kerem until when? Until he shows up for work. But the idea is he wants the usur item to remain in existence because that is going to be the source of his wages. Yet we see that he is permitted to go ahead and work with the Akum to remove the Klai Akerem. Why? Because apparently even working with something that is Asur is okay if the scope of your employment is the destruction of the prohibited item. So Savrua, so we'll say, so the Gemara discussed, Savrua, Hamani, whose opinion does this place reflect? Rabbi Akiva, he, the Amar, Hamakayim Bikelayim Loker. Both Rabbi Akiva is an interesting Shita. Rabbi Akiva says, not only does the one who plants Kelayim, not only is that Asur, but anyone who participates somehow in the upkeep of Kelayim is also violating a prohibition. Rashi says, over here, Afilu Rabbi Akiva, Dar Hamakayim Bikelayim Loker, third line down. From the top of Rashi, Dimzar and Acher, they will say, if somebody plants the Kelayim, Ubazeva Aslan Siag, Vigeder Kedele Kaimon, Loke, Alma Savar, Asra Lios Rhodes, Vikima Swasir, Vikiva's interesting Shita. Let's say Ruvain plants the Kilaya Kerim, and then what? Shimon puts up a fence around the Kilayim. Rabbi Akiva holds that Shimon is violated the Isser of Kilaya Kerim. Rabbi Akiva says a very dramatic Shita, that anyone who participates not only in the planting of Kilaya Kerim, but in the upkeep or sustaining of Kilaya Kerim, both say that is also Asr. That's also Asr. Incredible. So the Gemara says, this Sanya, because we learned, if somebody literally goes ahead and digs, right? Digs or hoes around the Kilaya Kerem. So ultimately, again, they're loke. They get Malkus. Rabbi Kiva, Omer Bosei, now that's someone who actively participates in the act of planting or the actual, something to do with the actual plant itself. Rabbi Akiva Omer Afamekayim. Bosei, Rabbi Akiva says, even the person who participates just in the upkeep. Now, Bosei, I want to point out something. You know, when we think about upkeep of Kilaya Kerem, what do you think about? You know, maintaining the actual plant, watering it, whatever a person does for upkeep of Kilayim. In Rabbi Akiva's model, so Mekayim upkeep is much broader. Remember again, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you put the fence up around the Kilaya Kerem, so that animals shouldn't come to eat it, that's Asr. That's Asr. So we'll say, so that's a pretty dramatic Shita. So the Gemara says, my time to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, all right, pretty dramatic. Yeah, I'm saying this is good. So we'll say, says the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Akiva. We'll say, what's Rabbi Akiva's logic? Meaning, where did he get this from? We'll say, because obviously, this is, all kidding aside, this is exceptionally dramatic because that's not the Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. The Pashup Shah and the Pasuk is that the Isra of Kilai HaKerem, we'll say, is planting of Kilai HaKerem. That's the Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. Where do you get this idea that if I put up a fence around the field or some other, what we'll call, secondary upkeep of Kilai HaKerem, that somehow that's going to be Asr? But say, this is an amazing drasha. Amakra, Rabbi Akiva says, Sodcha lo tizra kilayim. Remember, the pasuk says quite explicitly, you shall not go ahead and plant kilayim in your field. Ainli elazoreya, I only know that you can't plant them. Mikayim minayin. But say, how do I know that even secondary forms of kilayim support are also going to be Asr? Talmud lomar, lo kilayim. No kilayim. So Rabbi Akiva dashes, no kilayim means no kilayim. Now we'll say, now where does it say lo kilayim? We'll say, now watch this. If you happen to have the psukim on the margin of your gemara, you'll appreciate this a little bit more. Listen to how the pasuk reads. It's chukosai tishmeru. Okay, fine. Behem techo lo sabia kilayim, sadcha lo tizra kilayim, ubeged kilayim shatnez lo yalalecha. So we'll say, the Torah says three things. Number one, you can't go ahead and have kilayim by your animals. You can't mate different species. You can't plant kilayim in your field, and you shouldn't have kilayim in your clothing shatnis. Rabbi Akiva makes Rosh Rabbah say, the juxtaposition between the behema and the sada, behemtecha lo sabia kilayim, sadcha lo sizra. So we'll kilayim. So we'll listen to this. He juxtaposes the law of behema to the kilayim, ultimately, of the sada. The juxtaposition of those words gives you an additional prohibition, lo kilayim, which teaches you what Rabbah is saying. And even though there's a word in between that lo and kilayim, that's Rabbi Akiva's insert for the drasha. Ultimately, again, that teaches you may not participate in kilayim in any form whatsoever, even being mekayim, even ultimately, again, upholding the kilayim in any form. So the Gemara says as follows. Yet, so we'll say, see, even Rabbi Akiva, who has such an expansive understanding of the prohibition of kilayim, to even go ahead and what? Even include being mekayim kilayim. Nevertheless, v'ilu limi'ute tifla shari. Ultimately, even Rabbi Akiva Rabosai, who has perhaps the most expansive understanding of the prohibition of Kilayim, even he says that a Jew is permitted to gain, to work with the Ovid Kochavim in order to what? In order to uproot the Kilayim, because any act of diminishing that which is prohibited is going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Hamani Rabbanani. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, low. Maybe the Brisa doesn't reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva. Maybe it reflects the view of the Rabbanon. Abba said the Rabbanon obviously have a much more limited scope of the prohibition. According to the Rabbanon, the prohibition of Kilaya Karev is dafka only for planting. It doesn't apply to secondary types of activities. Hamani Rabbanon he? I Rabbanon. Well, says, if it's the Rabbanon, my Iria Okrin, afilu ki yume nami shapir dami. They will say, if it's according to the Rabbanon, then obviously you're permitted to uproot kilayim, because according to the Rabbanon, you're even allowed to do secondary forms of kilayim support, like putting up the fence. I mean, according to the Rabbanon, I will say the only issue is planting kilayim. Anything other than planting is going to be permitted. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. I will say, this is amazing. Hakama askinon kigon da'avid bechinam. Ooh. I will say, watch this. What is the Jew doing? The Jew is volunteering to work for free for the Akum to uproot his kilayim. Rabbi Yehudi, so we'll say, so what's wrong with working for free? Oh, how can you even ask such a shaila like that? Everything's wrong with working for free. So what's Rabbi Yehudi, the Amar, Litein Lahem Matnas Chinam Aser. And we'll say, all kidding aside, so remember again, this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi, remember, also we had this in the beginning of the Masechta. We had three different interpretations of the prohibition of Lo Sechaneim. Right? Either Lo Siten Lechaniya Bekarko, can't give an Akum a foothold in Eretz Yisrael. You can't go ahead and praise the Akum, or ultimately, again, you can't give the Akum a Matnas Chinam. You can't give the Akum, ultimately, again, a gift for free. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that Rabbi Yehuda, a Jew, is not permitted to give a service to an Akum for free. Rabbi Yehuda, remember again, this goes back to the beginning of the Masechta out of a concern that the Akum will then go ahead and praise his deity as a result, and as such, the Jew is enabling or facilitating or encouraging Avodah Zarah. So as I said, who is of the opinion that, again, you're not allowed to give a Matnas Chinam? So listen to this. Mid Rabbi Yehuda, Nishma, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda, so I'll say from Rabbi Yehuda, Nishma l'Rabbi Akiva lav, Am Rabbi Yehuda asr l'itein a Matnas Chinam, aval l'me'utei tifla, Shapir Tabi. See, even Rabbi Yehuda, who would normally say that what? You cannot give a Matnas Chinam. You can't do something for free for the Akum. We'll say, even Rabbi Akiva who says that, even Rabbi Yehuda who says that, would agree that what? Leme'ute Tifla, to go ahead and remove something which is prohibited, you could even work for the Akum for free. So what the Gemara is suggesting now is as follows. The Chiddush in this case of the Jew working for the Akum to remove the Klaya Kerabo, saying the Chiddush over here is not really rooted in the Machlokis in Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon. We'll come back to Rabbi Akiva in just a moment. The Chiddush over here is, I, the Jew, am coming over to the Akum, offering my services as a Klai HaKerem remover, and I'm offering those services for free. Under normal circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't offer anything for free to an Akum, because it's a violation of Lo Sichaneim, but over here, Leme'ute Tifla, because ultimately I'm trying to remove that which is prohibited, that which is Aser, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that I'm permitted to work for free. And if Rabbi Yehuda says that I'm able to work for free, then again the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva, Nami Afa Gavdam Rabbi Akiva Mekayim Bekalai Loke. So I'll say, therefore again, from that I could learn, even according to Rabbi Akiva. And remember, Rabbi Akiva is the strictest opinion when it comes to Klai Akerem, since Rabbi Akiva says you can't do anything related to Klai Akerem, and even if you just do secondary forms of support with Klai Akerem, you will be Chayiv. Even Rabbi Akiva will agree that what? Leme'ute Tifla, Shapir Dami. To go ahead and what? To go ahead and diminish that which is Aser, to remove that which is Aser, i.e. to diminish Klai Akerem, is permitted. Is permitted. It will say, look how the Gemara ends, V'su lo midi. And there is no longer any need to talk any more about this. It's like a mic drop. It's like a Talmudic mic drop, right? That's it. We're done, right? We're done. There's nothing more to discuss. The conversation is closed, which Rabosai means that at the end of the day, again, the Gemara has an incredible resolution and feels that it has successfully proven the case that indeed a Jew is permitted to involve himself in working with prohibited items in the scope of destroying those items. Even items which a Jew normally must actively disassociate from, he is permitted to go ahead and work to destroy them. Again, whether he's doing it for free, whether he's getting a wage. So we'll say, So the Gemara, so just so you should know, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin on this? Even though, again, this is an interesting case of the ox. Remember, again, how does this all get started? This gets started with the Akum hiring the Jew in order to go ahead and destroy Yayin Nesach. Right? Akum has bowels of Yayin Nesach that for some reason he wants destroyed. Can the Jew get a wage for destroying the Yayin Nesach or not? So Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is in 7 Kuf Lamed Gimel, Sif Zayin in Yaradeya. Shulchan Aruch writes, Yisrael Shesachru Ovid Kochavim, Lishpar Lo Chavish Shel Yayin Nesach, if a Jew is hired by an Akum to go ahead and destroy the Akum's barrels of Yayin Nesach, Af Al Pi Sherotze B'Kiyumam, Shel Yishtabru Me'eleyem, Ad Sheyishbarim Hu V'Yitos Chanavosei. Now remember again, in this case, the Jew now desires the existence of the Yayin Nesach. Why does he desire the existence of the Yayin Nesach? Because Lemaisa, again, if the Yayin Nesach would break or would spill as a result of some other occult act of God, the Jew does not get his wage. So he desires the existence of the Yayin Nesach. Nevertheless, Scharo Mutter, we'll say he is permitted to get paid for destroying the Yayin Nesach, and the Tavo Alav Bracha. But it's a memory like the Lashon of Rav Nachman. And he gets a Shkoyach. He gets a Shkoyach ultimately. Again, why? Because he is actively destroying those things which are prohibited. Good of us, I say, that is the Halacha L'maisa. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hadur Yasid the Kaibai. What's this? The Gemara asks another fascinating Shaila. Hadur Yasid the Kaibai. Dimei Avodas Kochavim, Biyat Ovid Kochavim Mahu. But say, listen to this case. Money, now look at Rashi just a moment. Dimei Avodas Kochavim, it's right across from Tosfos Mistabra. Literally right across. So Dimei Avodas Kochavim. Ovid Kochavim Shemokra Avodas Kochavim Dimei Mahin Banar. Both listen to this. What happens if a Gentile, Rashi saying Akum, sells his idol? He sells his idols. So the Shaila Rabbosai is, what is the status of that money? Now we know, when it comes to Avodah Zarah owned by a Jew, so that status, that Avodah Zarah status transfers to everything. So if a Jew takes his Avodah Zarah and sells it, that money is still usur. The Shaila is over here by an Akum. If the Akum goes ahead and sells his idol, what is the status of that money? Is the money usur like Avodah Zarah itself? Or once the Akum transforms his idols into cash, then Lemaisa, again, the cash is going to be permitted. So the Gemara says as follows. How do you ask the Kamele? The Biat of Kamahu. Mitofe says, Dameha Biat Ovid Kochavim Olo. We'll say, does the money retain the idolatrous identity while still in the hands of the Akum or not? I'm supposed to listen to this. Amulu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Mistabra, so Rav Nachman seems to say, it appears to me, it's mistaber, that if the Akum sells his idol and transforms the idol into cash, that ultimately, again, that money is mutter bano. Money is mutter bano. So where do we get this from? Listen to this, Rav Nachman. I'm going to tell you an episode. Listen to this. There were these people, whether it's individual or group, sounds like it's a group, of Akum, who wanted to convert. They wanted to convert. Siraya Baravua said to them, listen, before you convert, let me give you some advice. Zeal, zebinu komad de isluchu. You should go ahead and sell off everything you have. Now, I will say, everything over here doesn't mean everything. What does everything mean? Everything means you have all the Zara. If you have any idolatrous stuff with you, you should sell it off before you convert. And then what? Visu is gairu. Then you should be megayir afterwards. So the Gemara says, my time, but what's the reason for this? So he says, Mishum de Kasavar, de me avodos kochava biyad ovid kochava mutarin. So we'll say, Rabbi Baravua was telling us something very interesting. He's like, listen, if you guys convert and you're still holding on to this avodah zara, then what? You're going to be Jews who own avodah zara. What's the halacha with Jews who own avodah zara? They can never be batal. So the only thing you could do with it is actively destroy it. You can't sell it. You can't be nana from it. It has to be actively destroyed. On the other hand, what we have learned is what? Is an Akum does have the ability to be mevatel his avodah zara. He could negate his idolatry. So what Rabbi Avua seems to be saying is, selling your avodah zara ain't bitl gidola mizu. Right? When you sell your God, Subhapashras, that's a pretty clear statement. Either that you're strapped for cash or that you don't believe in this anymore. Right? So we'll say, but Pashras, either way, when you're selling off your theology, or I should say your idols. So lemaisa, again, that's a bittul. So therefore, Rabbi Rav says, sell it off while you're an akum, and then you have the cash, and the cash is mutter. And obviously, if he's trying to sell it off, that means that the cash is mutter, which tells us what? That when an akum sells his idols, the cash will be mutter. Look at Rashi, v'su es gairu, po'uv es gairu de la'achash, and es gairu asra limkal ha'vol es kovim shebi'atcham. Alma, shari. So we'll say, so Rav Nachman says, you see from this statement of Rabbi Bar Avua that when an akum sells his idol, the money is permitted. So the Gemara says, one second, v'dilma shiny hasa. Maybe that case is different. Dechevan de daiti leigiure vaday batla. This is very interesting. Maybe this is different because since we're talking about people here who are about to convert, then I will say, see, conversion by definition requires what? Negation of idolatry. I will say it's one of the things we do multiple times through the step of Geirus. Again, the different halachas. Whether it's big machlokes aposkim, is it enough to actively accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that just enough? Or must a person actively deny the validity of their former religion? So machlokes aposkim, what a Geir needs to do. So the Gemara says over here that look, this group that's coming before Rabbi Bar Avua, they want to convert. If they want to convert, then what? Vadai batla. Then Rabbi said, that's different. They've been mevatel their avodah zarah. If they've been mevatel their avodah zarah, everyone will agree that's what? Right? Then ultimately the money is permitted. So let's say, our shayla is, what about in the case where lemaisa, again, the akum didn't actively, he wasn't actively mevatel. So again, you could say that the act of selling your idol, again, as we said before, ain't bittul gedol mizu. Maybe that is bittul. But at the same time, he's not saying anything. He's not doing anything. So in the case where they come in to convert, it's clear that he's repudiating his former ideology or his former theology. So of course the money is going to be permitted. So this is not a good raya. Elam ehacha. But rather, again, Rav Nachman says, I'll give you another proof. Yisrael shayinu sheva avikul chavim mana. Well, listen to this. If Yisrael lent an Oved Kochavim $100, and what happened? Umachar avodas kochavim vehevilo, yayinesech vehevilo mutter. Well, listen to this. Jew lends Akum $100. What does the Akum do? He doesn't have any cash, so he sells off his idol. Sells off his idol, brings the Jew $100. Sells off his yayinesech, brings the Jew $100. Well, say, so what's the status of those proceeds? Gemara says, mutter. Mutter. Watch this. Avalim amrlo, hamtein li ad she'emkar avodos kochavim va'avilacha yayinesech va'avilacha aser. Rabbi say, if the Akum says to the Jew, listen, Jew, I know that I owe you $100. Listen, I need to go ahead and sell off my idol, or I need to sell off my yayinesech. You know, it's a good market now for idols and yayinesech. So I just need to sell off some of my stuff, and I'll bring you the money. So we'll say, in that case, the proceeds of that sale are aser to the Jew. So the Gemara says, Maishna Reishna, Maishna Seifa. So we'll say, so what's the distinction in the case? Remember, case number one is seemingly, again, where the Akum doesn't say anything to the Jew. Right? He owes the Jew $100, and of his own volition, he just goes and he sells off the idol, sells off the INS, and says, here's the money. Second case is where he tells the Jew, I need to sell off my idol, or I need to sell off my INS in order to pay you. So we'll say, yeah, in this first case, it's Mutter. Second case, it's Aser. What's the difference between the two cases? Amar Rav Sheshe says, Seifa Mishum Dahavilei Kirotze Bikiyumo. We'll say, because Rav Sheshe says, the second case is where the Jew wants the continued existence of the idol or the Yayinesech. We'll say, why does the Jew want the continued existence of the idol or the Yayinesech? Because remember, again, the Akum has made it explicitly clear that he doesn't have cash. So any cash for repayment is going to come from the sale of the idol or from the sale of the Yayinesech. As such, the Jew wants the continued existence of these items. Look at Rashi. So apparently, because the Jew wants the continued existence of this idolatrous item, therefore it makes the proceeds aser. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The chirotze bekiyumo ki agav nami aser. But just because the Jew wants the continued existence of this item, so the proceeds of the sale become aser. V'hatanan, but we learned, v'hatanan, ger v'ovid kochavim sheyar shuavi and ovid kochavim. So this is an amazing case. Let's see, you have two brothers. Both born Ovdei Kochavim. One brother converts. One brother converts. So we'll say the father who's in Ovei Kochavim dies. And now obviously there are two sons who are going to be Yorish Shisei. Let's assume for a moment for our purposes that neither of them is a Bechor, right? They have an oldest. Well, actually, it doesn't make a difference. There's no Bechor by an Akum. Right? So we'll say, so ultimately again, Father Akum dies. Now what happens? Now in the estate, there's a whole bunch of stuff, including Avod Zara. So we'll say, so now what happens? Watch this. So Ger of Kochavim, Shiar Shabin of Kochavim. So the father of Kochavim dies. His two sons, one who's a Ger, one who's an Akum, inherit him. So the Gemara says, Ger Yachol Lomer Lo. So the Ger could tell his Akum brother, Tol Ata Avodot Kochavim Vani Mos. Listen, you take the idolatry, I'll take the money. You think the idolatry, now obviously, it's a situation where, again, the idolatry itself has a value as well. So the splitting the value of the estate, it's just the Ger brother is saying, listen, the idolatry is of no use to me, obviously. You take the idolatry, I'll take the money. Talati yayin esach vani peros. You take the yayin esach, I'll take the produce. So we'll say, so what's the aloha? Imishibol the Rishus HaGer Aser. So we'll say, if the problem is, if these items already came to the Rishus of the Ger, then what? Then it's going to be Aser. Because we'll say, at that point in time, it's Avodah Zarah owned by a Jew. Once the Avodah Zarah is owned by a Jew, there's nothing really he could do with it except destroy it. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? This is a case of also where the Ger wants the continued existence, ultimately, of the item. Why does he want the continued existence of the item, I will say? Because Halacha L'maaseh, again, this ensures that he'll be able to get his Yerusha. So the Gemara says, yet we see that it's Mutter. So Amar Rava Bar Ula, Masnisin Ba'avodas Kochavim, HaMischalekes Lefi Shevarah. We'll say it's different. Truth is, this is a case of idolatry of idols. The Avodah Zarah in this case, we'll say, is an idol that has inherent value. For example, it's made of gold. So that even if it breaks, it's still going to be valuable. In that case, again, the Ger does not care if the item is going to remain intact or not. That's a fine answer by idolatry. Remember again, the Brayis also deals with the Yayin Nesach. So what's the case of where he doesn't want, even if the barrel breaks, so the wine is gone, to which the Gemara says, Becheres Hadrayni. Remember again, Hadrianic jugs. Remember again, so what's the case of Cheres Hadrayni? So that was the jugs where they would go ahead and they would, the earthenware would absorb strong wine, to the point that what you could do is you could make wine even with just a shard of that earthenware. If you put a shard of that earthenware in wine, so the absorptions are so strong that they can make wine again. So in that case, again, even if the barrel breaks, the shards are meaningful. So in that case, the Ger brother does not really care whether or not the Yayin Nesach remains intact or the Avodah Zarah remains intact. Lemais, again, he's just looking to swap property with his Akum brother. So the Gemara says, "Vahalo rotsu b'kiyumo shelo yignivu v'shelo yavdu." But he still does want the Avodah Zarah and the Yayin Nesach to remain in existence. It might not have to remain whole, but he doesn't want it to get stolen or he doesn't want it to be lost. Ela amra papa Yerusha Sager Kanabos. This is amazing. Don't bring a rye from Yerusha Sager. Why not? Because Shaini Yerusha Sager da'akilu barabonon. We'll say when it comes to Yerusha Sager, right, the rabbis were Mekel. We'll say, so it's another way of saying, when it comes to Yerusha Sager, the rabbis were Mekel, and that's what? They actively allowed the Ger to swap with his Akum brother, that the Akum brother should take Avodah Zarah, and the Ger brother should take other things. We'll say, see, even though under normal circumstances, it sounds like if a Jew wants the continued existence of the Avodah Zarah, so then the proceeds of that Avodah Zarah are going to be Aser. When it comes to Yerushas Hager, ultimately we're Mekel. Why are we saying? Gzeira Shemiyachzir Lekilkulo. We'll say, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that if we're not Mekel, the Ger is going to go back to being an Akum. We'll say, what does that mean? So if you could have a situation of somebody who converted, and then Lemaise, again, his father dies, so he's still going to inherit his father. We'll say, let's say his father was fabulously wealthy. For most people, if you're going to make them make a choice between their money and their religion, so also, I should say, that for that matter, money and their morality. So unfortunately, again, or money and their theology, many people will choose money. Chazal understand that. That's just the nature of human nature. So we'll say, that because that's the case, the Rabbanon were makil in certain circumstances where we're dealing with rabbinic law. So in this case over here, where again, under normal circumstances, if the Jew wants to continue the existence of the Avodah Zarah, so the proceeds of that Avodah Zarah are going to be usher. In this case, the Rabbanon were makil, lest the ger be tempted to return back to his negative behaviors in order to go ahead and have a portion of his Yerusha. So essentially, we allow him to actively divide his deceased Akum father's estate with his Akum brother, actively bartering Avodah Zarah for other items in order to safeguard the newfound spirituality of the ger. We'll say, Amad Beis, Tainam Yachar, Beis that support this. The Medram, when is this true that they can actively barter Avodah Zarah for other items? Shiyarshu. We'll say, that's only in the case, ultimately, again, of inheritance. Aval Nishtatfu Aser. We'll say, if their partner's in it, then the Maise, again, they can't actively barter in Avodah Zarah. Fine, so we'll say, so that ends the sugya of the proceeds. So what's the answer? Remember, how did we start this sugya? This sugya was, an Akum goes ahead and sells his Avodah Zarah. It will say, what is the status of the proceeds? So remember again, the Gemara kind of went a little bit on a tangent. In other words, bottom line, what is that law? It's supposed to say, the Rambam paskins, that when an Akum sells his idol, those monies are mutterbano. So again, if he sells his idolatry, even without active repudiation of the idolatry, ultimately again, the status of the Avodah Zarah does not carry over to the monies, and the monies will be actively permitted. That is how we pass Halacha L'Maisa. Next case, Rabosai. This is another fascinating case. How do Yasir come by? Rabosai, they asked another Shaila. Next case. Hadur Yossi Mekami Barler. Both say they were still sitting and talking. And what were they talking about? Ger Toshav, Mahu Sheyivakla Avodas Kol Chaver. Both say, listen to this. Can a Ger Toshav actively go ahead and negate idolatry? Both say, now who is a Ger Toshav? Look at Rashi, Tap Rashi, Samach Talal Amadeis. Ger Toshav is Eino Ovid Kol Chaver. Eino Ovid Avodas Kol Chaver. So we'll say, a Ger Toshav is a Gentile, not an Akum. He is a Gentile who does not worship idolatry, but in every single other way, he is like a Gentile. He's a guy. So we'll say, he doesn't observe any mitzvahs, nothing, but he doesn't worship idolatry. So the Shaila is, does such an individual have the koach, have the ability to negate Tiri Mavatal Avodah Zarah or not? So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, "Depalach mevatel, delo palach lo mevatel." So do we say, you know, you kind of like you got to be in it to win it? You know, like do we say you have to worship it to negate it? But if you don't worship it, you can't negate it. In other words, that the idea of bitul avosai is that somebody who is actively steeped in Avodah Zarah, if you worship it, then you have the ability to negate its quote unquote, in quotations with a lowercase d, divine identity. But if you don't worship it, right, if it's not your Avodah Zarah, then you don't have the ability to be mevatel it. O dilma, kol de bar mine mevatel. Or I will say, anybody will say what we call bar mine. Bar mine means anyone who is in the same category as an Akum has the ability to negate the Avodah Zarah. I will say, so what does it mean to be in the same category as an Akum? You're a Gentile. Person's a guy, right? Anyone who is a Gentile, by definition, has the ability to negate idolatry, even if you're not an active worshiper, even if you're not an idolater yourself. So that's on the machlokes. Does bittel require you to be an oved avodah zarah, or does bittel just require you to be a Gentile? The nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? Good, ger toshav, right? Ger toshav is the nafkamina. Ger Toshav is a Gentile who does not worship idolatry. Does he have the ability to be mevatel idolatry or not? So Amar says, Amar Luhu Rav Nachman. So we'll say, Rav Nachman, today is Rav Nachman's day. Amar Rav Nachman, Mistabra de Palach mevatel, de lo Palach lo mevatel. Rav Nachman says, it's clear that again, in order to go ahead and negate idolatry, you have to worship it. If you don't worship it, you can't negate it. Meisei, so Amar says, really, is that true? Meisei, Yisoh Shematah Wadas Kochavim B'shok. Let's listen to this. If the Yisrael finds a nice idol in the shuk, Achelo basal yadom. So we'll say, so now what's the issue? I find the gold idol in the shuk. Now I have no interest in it theologically, but I do have interest in it monetarily. So I'll say, so what's the problem? The problem is, lemais again, if I pick it up and I acquire it as avodah zara, and it's still avodah zara, then I'm stuck. Meaning, then I have nothing to do but destroy it. So I have a good chav. What do? Omer lo oved kochav muvatla. I go ahead and I find an oved kochav. I say, listen, do me a favor. You, oved kochav, be mevatla that avodah zara. Once you're mevatla, it's no longer an idol. Once it's no longer an idol, then it's just a block of gold. I could take it. Mishabasal yodo. So we'll say, but once ultimately again I would take possession of it, meaning if I were to lift it up and take possession of it before bittul, then what? Unfortunately, I'm stuck. Meaning there's nothing I can do with that avodah zara. So the Gemara says, but once I pick it up, once it comes to my hand, I no longer have the ability to ask the akum to be mevatlet. Mipnei sha'amru, oved kochav mevatla avodas kochav shalo. Because we'll say, Akum has the ability to be mevatel his avodah zara and his friend's avodah zara. Bein ovda, bein shalo ovda. Whether the Akum worships this idol or doesn't worship this idol. Says the Gemara, 1 second. My ovda umay she'ino ovda. We'll say, what does it mean that an Akum has the ability to be mevatel avodah zara, whether he worships it or not? So the Gemara says, ilema. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says, ilema idivi idi oved kochavim. So we'll say, so what are you going to say? So maybe what it's saying is like this, that an Obed Kochav Rabosai has the ability to negate his own idolatry or his friend's idolatry, even if he doesn't worship that same Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Elalav Ovda Obed Kochavim Umay She'ina Ovda Ger Toshav. Or maybe what it means is as follows. Maybe Ovda means an Ovid Kochavim. She'ina Ovda means a Ger Toshav. And the Bryce is teaching me that what Rabbo say, Shmamino Ger Toshav Nami Mevatel. Maybe what the Bryce is teaching Rabbo say is that what? That a Ger Toshav in fact does have the ability to be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah. To which the Gemara says, Lo, Li'olam Eimelacha, Idi v'idi Ovid Kochavim. Rabbo say, no. The Bryce is talking about, so Rabbo say, remember again, there are two cases of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Ovid kochav mevatla avodas kochav shalo v'shal chaveiro, bein ovda u bein she'ein ovda. The Gemara wanted to suggest to Bosai, so remember again, an akum could negate, could be mevatla, his avodah zara, his friend's avodah zara, whether he worships it or he doesn't worship it. The halamin of the Gemara was, worships it means what? He's an avodah zara. Eino ovda, doesn't worship it means what? He's a Ger Toshav. The Gemara now says, no, that's not what it means. The only person of us who has the ability to work to be mevatel idolatry is someone who is an idolater, someone who worships Avodah Zarah. So what's Ein Ovda? Udika Amrit, Hainu Shalom V'Shachaveh. Rabbi says, listen to this. What does it mean when it says he can be mevatel his Avodah Zarah and his friend's Avodah Zarah? For example, Reisha Zev Zela Pa'ar, Zelazel Markles. So what it means is, the first case of the Baisa will say is when it says, I can negate, not I, an Akum can negate his Avodah Zarah and his friends of Avodah Zarah. We'll say, that's when they both worship the same Avodah Zarah. They both worship Baal Pa'ar. They both worship Markles. So we'll say, the Baisa is teaching me that one Akum can not only be Mavatal his own Avodah Zarah, but he can be Mavatal the Avodah Zarah of his friends when they worship the same idolatry. Right? However, Sefer, I will say, yet the Baisa then goes on, what's the Baisa say? The Braisa then says, Bein Ovda u Bein She'ein Ovda. What does that refer to, Rabosai? Zela Pa'ar, v'zela Markalis. Rabosai, what that teaches me is that what? Anakum can be mevatel the Avodah Zarah of his friends, even if what, Rabosai? They worship different idols. So even if one worships Pa'ar, one worships Markalis, the Pa'ar guy can be mevatel the Markalis guy can be mevatel the Pa'ar. Rabosai, but what do you see? That in order to be mevatla avodah zara, what has to happen? You have to be an idolater, right? You have to be an oved avodah zara. If you're not an oved avodah zara, then you cannot go ahead and negate the avodah zara itself. So we'll say, so therefore again, that we're holding right now in this discussion is, the novelty is, you need not worship the idolatry that you're being mevatel. But you must be an idol worshiper in order to have the power of bittul. Meisve, so the Gemara raises the cash. So we'll say, now again, remember, now using that logic, what would be the halach with the Ger Toshav? What would be the logic? he cannot be mevatel. So we'll say, so where we're holding right now is that a ger toshav does not have the power of bittel over avodah zarah. Meisve, the Gemara raises that kasha. Listen to this. Ezu ger toshav. What is a ger toshav? Or I should say, who is a ger toshav? So the Gemara says, kol shekibav alav bifnei gimel chaverim. Shelo lavo levodas kochavim div Rebbe Meir. So what Rebbe Meir says, it's any Gentile who has accepted upon himself in the presence of three chaverim, which means three Jews, not to go ahead and worship idolatry. So he's accepted in front of what? In front of a Beis Din. He's accepted in front of a Jewish Beis Din that is not going to worship idolatry. These words are Rebbe Meir. Chacham the Chum say no. Kol shekibel alav sheva mitzvos. Shekibel aleim bnei Noach. Chacham say, to become a Ger Toshav, you must actively accept Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. The Achirim say, Elu lo bo lechlal Ger Toshav. So, the Achirim say, Rabbi Meir, you're wrong. Chachamim, you're wrong. What is a Ger Toshav? Ela Ezu Ger Toshav, Zeger Ochal Nevelos, Shekibel Alav Lekayin Kol Mitzvos Sa'amuros B'Torah, Chutz me iser nevelos. Boss is actually dramatic. The Achirim say the definition of a ger toshav says everyone, a person who accepts everything but kashrus. But kashrus. So he can eat whatever he wants. He can be ochal nevelos, but he accepts upon himself every single other mitzvah. Rashi says a ver kosher ochal nevelos, ushar kol mitzvos mekayim. So we'll say, but he accepts everything. So we'll say, so fundamental three machlokas are definition of a ger toshav. Rabbi Meir, he accepts upon himself not to worship idolatry in front of a Beis Din. Chachamim, he accepts Shemitzos B'nei Noach. Achirim, he accepts Kol HaTorah Kula with the exception of the laws of Kashrus. So we'll say, now watch this. Now what's the status of a ger toshav? Listen to this. Miyachadin etzlo yayin. So ve'im mafkidin etzlo yayin. So we'll say, the halacha is miyachadin. We'll say, miyachadin means you could deposit wine with him for a short amount of time. So you could let him watch your wine for a short amount of time. That's miyachadin, vein mafkidin. But you cannot put your wine with him for long periods of time. Va'afilu bi'ir sheru b'Yisrael. I say, even if it's a city who has a majority Jewish population. Ava miyachadin etzlo yayin. But I will say, you can give him your wine to watch for a short amount of time. Afilu bi'ir sheru b'ovdi kochavim. Even in a city that has a majority Gentile population, Rashi says in miyachadin etzlo yayin yisra maniach bechanuso ad sheyilech kidei mil oyos. So we'll say, so you see over here that even though he's not Jewish, but you can't, now remember with an akum, you can't leave your wine with an akum at all. With the ger toshav, you can leave your wine with him for a short amount of time. Not for prolonged periods of time. Dahai, I mean Rashi. Dahai kevan delo palach lo naga v'lo manaseh. As I will say, because this guy is not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so I don't have to be concerned that he's going to touch my wine for the sake of Avodah Zarah. So also, we're not concerned that he's going to let an Akum touch my wine either. Now, I can't leave the wine with him for long periods of time because at the end of the day, he's still not Jewish. But at least for a short amount of time, I am permitted to go and leave my wine with him to let him watch it, even in a case or even in a situation where the majority of the population of the city in which we are situated is our Akum. Shmano kiyeno. His oil of the ger toshav is treated like his wine. So Moses says, what does that mean? Shmano kieno. What does that mean that his oil is like his wine? Saka dait chashemen mi kahavi yayin esek. What does that mean? His oil, can oil become yayin esek? What does that mean? To which the Gemara says, Elo, yeno kishmano. Rather, I will say what it means is that his oil is treated like his wine. Look at Rashi. Ushmano mi havi yayin esek ala yeno mutarbana kishmano. So we'll say the case, what the Gemara is saying over here is that literally his oil, or I should say differently, his wine is like his oil, which means that just like the oil of a ger toshav is mutar ba'ano, so to the wine of a ger toshav is mutar ba'ano. So we'll say, we see that he's not treated like an akul. I could deposit my wine with him for shorter periods of time. I'm permitted to get hana from his wine in the same way that I can get hana from his oil. Ulishar kol davar harehu ka ovid kochavim. And we'll say, in every other aspect, he is like an ovid kochavim. Okay. So Rav Shimon Omer, Yeno Yayin Esech. What Rav Shimon says, his wine is treated like Yayin Esech. Va'amri la, Mutar b'shtiyah. So we'll say literally, when it comes to the wine of an akum, the shitos span the gamut. So we have one opinion that says, Rav Shimon says his wine is like yayin esach, right? At the other extreme, others say his wine is permitted for consumption, and in the middle, his wine would be asr b'shtiyah, but mutar b'ano. Katani miha, ulishar kol dvar harikav kham. Bosev, what do you see? What's the important statement for us? That we see, the Brisa just said, that for all other matters, he is treated like an akum. We'll say, what does that mean, that for all the matters you look in akum? My love. I'm sorry, l'may hilchasa. Love d'mevat avodas kochavim, kove kochavim. We'll say, does that not mean? So what does that mean, like for everything else he's treated like an akum? We'll say, does that not mean that he's treated like an akum, that just like an akum has the ability to be mevat l'avodazara, so to the geratosha has the ability to mevat l'avodazara? Amar Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak lo. Litein Roshos Ulevat Roshos. We'll say we'll stop it here for today, but the Gemara is going to suggest no. When we go ahead and we say that he's like an Akum for all things, that is not that he can negate Avodah Zarah. The Ger Toshav cannot negate Avodah Zarah. So what does it mean that he's like an Akum? Rather, what it means like an Akum, we're also going to see for Hilchos Shabbos. Meretz Hashem will pick up with Hilchos Shabbos and Meretz Hashem tomorrow.
About what you're talking about.